Welcome to the Twee Couch Guitar Therapy Session, where we talk about all things guitar related. My name is Dr. T, and I am not a licensed therapist, but I play one on a podcast. Today on the Twee Couch, we are counseling on overdrive pedals. My first overdrive was a Tube Screamer circuit. It turned my solid-state amp into a broken-up tone machine. A few years later, I went to a tube amp, and although I could get it driven, nothing beat the tones I got from an overdrive pushing the front end. Of course, tone is subjective. Some love the colors an EQ or clipping can give. Others prefer something more transparent or with a slight bump in a certain frequency. Either way, overdrives are necessary, and overdrives are inspirational. But which overdrive is king? Do they all sound the same? Why would you want more than one? Does the price matter? How many is too many? Is a fuzz considered an overdrive? Which should I try? Is there anything original out there? And Robert Keeley, what does he have to do with all this? Well, we will discuss this and more on this group therapy session with Lloyd on the Tweed Couch. Well, Lloyd, thank you for being here on the couch to talk about something that I know we both need a lot of therapy on, because we are doing the definition of insanity. Yeah. We are doing the exact same thing over and over again, and we are expecting a different result. So, Lloyd, thank you for being here on the couch.
Thanks, Doc. It's been too long. It's good to be back.
It has been way too long. I'm glad. I'm trying to get back into the swing because I miss my friends. And honestly, this is the best chance for me to actually schedule time to talk with my friends. So this is what we're getting into today. This is what I think we need some therapy on, is you and I, we have had a lot of drive pedals. Matter of fact, I think that I'm addicted to drive pedals. I just love them.
We've had quite a journey.
Yeah, we have. So I think we're going to talk drive pedals. We're going to talk about all the different ones. And really where this stemmed from was you've had a Timmy for a very, very long time, and you've really liked it. And I had a Greer Lightspeed. And you said the Greer Lightspeed is essentially the same thing as the Timmy, except for it's a different manufacturer and it's a little different in some of the way that it was tweaked. And you know what? I went, that's it. We're talking about it on the podcast. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I think it's time for you to start us off. And how about you go ahead and talk about, first of all, what drew you to the Timmy? And then why did you feel like you needed a Lightspeed?
The fun thing in the time that we live is the plethora. Yes, I said plethora, all caps. Of,
I would say it's a plethora. Yeah,
of overdrive options. You know, back I'll even start like in the 80s going out, there weren't many options. And it wasn't really, even in the mid 90s, there weren't a lot of options, but there were a few that were starting to come out that are a little more. But wow, now here we are in 2024.
Yeah.
There are thousands, all trying to do the same thing, basically. But there are 1,000 of them. And there are so many guitarists that we just, you know, you got to try them all because you just don't know. So about, I think it was about 6-7 years ago, instead of buying a new one, I started on the gear page specifically, I started trading out one specific pedal for another pedal. And then I played that a little while and I'd be like, I don't really like it. What else has somebody got? And people would just offer me different things. And I was like, and so I went, and I don't even remember what the first one was anymore, but I'm thinking it was, and nobody's going to be able to correct me if I'm wrong, because who would know, except you might know.
That's right.
I think it was a pedal that isn't very well known now called the Radial Tone Bone. I think that's what started this. I think so.
Oh, you know what? That's funny because I remember this time in which you had it and I went, man, that's a great pedal. I really like this pedal. And now you never see it on anybody's board and you don't have it.
No, and it was a great pedal. It was the one that really started the journey for me on, oh, an overdrive actually can work. It was actually before the Keeley mod of the Tube Screamer.
Oh, yeah.
And all of us, you, Paul, and I all had ours modded from Keeley.
Yep.
And it sounded so much like the Tone Bone but much smaller footprint. I'm like, I don't need the tone bone anymore.
Right.
Now, the tone bone did more. It had like a mid shift button on it, so you could really get different voicings on it. But the setting that I really wanted was what the Keeley modded Tube Screamer just kind of did right out of the box.
Yep.
So I was like, I don't need both of those. And the tone bone was so big. And I think that's kind of why it's fallen out of fashion a little bit. It also, if you remember, it had a little 12AX7 tube in it.
Yeah, it did.
You know, when they were doing that for a little while.
Yep.
You know, Soldano had a pedal like that.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of pedals that came out.
Mesa
had
a pedal like that. I mean, there was a bunch of them that they were just trying to go, you know what, you can get some tube saturation.
That's right. With a real tube.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, and it worked to some degree, but the pedals were huge.
But, you know, the thing is that it's interesting that they went, oh yeah, we're going to put a tube in there, because that was the whole idea of putting an LED in the clipping stage. Because they went, putting an LED in would give you this extra kind of like real actual tube sound. That's actually the difference between a original vintage Rat, normal Rat style, and the Turbo Rat. The Turbo Rat instead uses clipping using LEDs.
I did not know that.
And if you use red versus yellow versus any of the other ones, you get a different type of clipping out of it.
And nobody in the audience ever hears it at all.
Yeah, well, and if they do hear it, they don't care. They don't go, ooh.
Ooh, I like the red clipping over the yellow clipping.
Yeah, and you know what? I can tell that they have a red and a blue going together because I hear all that green tone. It's just so green.
There was that small little window there where people stopped yelling, Freebird, Freebird, and they started yelling, yellow clipping, yellow clipping.
Yeah, that was it.
Instead of red clipping. Mm-hmm. Remember that small little window? Maybe nobody else does, but you and
I remember it. I experienced it. Yeah, I had the t-shirt made, and then I also had a sign I would hold up. And
I know. This has all been a sidebar so far.
So far. Can you tell me about the Timmy and the Greer?
Do you remember the Soldano, their pedal that had the tube in it? Do you remember that thing? It was, because you said Mesa Boogie also had one too. These things were the size of a laptop computer.
Yeah, they were huge.
Huge things. And they were cool. And actually, the old Mesa ones, Randy Kirkman, Becky Hemingway's husband Randy.
Yeah, he played my Burninator, and he was like, ooh, I dig this.
Yeah. Well, he has one of the original Mesas with that's laptop size.
Yeah.
And he still uses it. It's great. I bet they're a fortune. If you went online and tried to find one, they probably are.
I don't know. I might look it up. You know what? I'll look it up. You start telling me about the Greer, man, and tell me about the
Paul
Cochran.
Get there eventually. So, back in the 1880s, I traded the tone bone for
the 1880s.
I traded the tone bone for, at first it was the Wampler Pinnacle.
Remember
that pedal? And it was more of a like a Van Halen in a box kind of thing, which is a whole nother thing. You know, when we talk about overdrive, that's really what this is about. But you know, there's the Marshall in a box overdrives.
Oh yeah, quote
there's
unquote
overdrive overdrives.
Getting some now brown sound.
Now there's some that are doing the Dumble style overdrives.
Oh yeah, the steel string singer like that Vertex FX is doing. And
There's a few of them. And I'd be curious to try it, but anyway, sure. So I try it for a while. Like that's cool. I don't really need it, but it was great because going back to we have such a wealth of variety right now.
Yep.
And all these pedals, you know, around $100-$150, and most people are like, okay, that's a lot of money, but I can dish out $150 for like the best tone ever,
add them
to my board, which is why you go on the marketplace now and you'll see, you know, somebody will be selling like 20 overdrive pedals.
Yeah.
Because somebody tried them all. And then they kept just a few that they like and they're selling the rest. But eventually though, after trading out pedal after pedal, on my list was the Timmy. And somebody said, yeah, I think I think it was the Wampler Pinnacle that I traded for the Timmy pedal.
Yep.
And I got that pedal. And I remember after playing it just a short while, I told you that this may be one of the first pedals that I've played that actually lives up to the hype.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yep, I do remember this. And I remember asking you, Does it sound like a Tube Screamer? Does it sound like a SD1? Does it sound like... And you were like, it just sounds good. It's like, okay, then I guess that's where we're at.
Yeah, you know, it was one of the first pedals that really did it. You know, the transparent overdrive that everybody's going for.
Yep.
In that area anyway. The Timi was the first one to actually do it. And it was like, you know, it really does a good job of just making your amp sound like it's more of what you want without really coloring a lot, you know, all those tone words that we use.
Yep.
Which is why I was really interested in trying the Lightspeed.
Yeah.
Because everybody was talking about the Lightspeed made by Greer. From what I understand, Paul Cochran, who made the Timi pedal, Greer, they love the Timi pedal too. And so like everybody's doing, best compliment you can do is try to copy somebody with their own little twist.
Very true.
And so Greer did that. He took the Timi and said, okay, if I had it, I would tweak it just a little bit. And he made the Lightspeed. And there were, for a while there, were a lot of people like, yeah, the Lightspeed is better than the Timi. It's like they're always on pedal. So I was really interested. And when you said you would sell me yours, I was like, sure, I'll take it.
Which I got from Jason because it was like his 30th that he had purchased.
And he keeps going back to it because that's what Jason does.
Which is interesting because I actually called him today just to make sure that I knew all the stuff that I needed to know for this conversation. And he does not own a Lightspeed. And the reason why he doesn't own a Lightspeed is because he bought a Timi and liked it better.
I have on my phone somewhere a text from Jason that says he got rid of the Timi because he liked the Lightspeed a little bit better. Oh, Jason, I'll sell you the Timi for $200. I say Timi or Lightspeed? Yeah, Lightspeed.
He doesn't have the Lightspeed anymore.
I know, I'll sell it back to him. That's what I meant. Going out. So, okay, here's what's interesting. Having them two together. So for the last month and a half, I've played out at four different events with the Timi and the Lightspeed and one of my also favorite overdrives, which is the Barber Direct Drive. Been a staple for years.
Yeah.
The three of those I had on my board and tried them all at various times during various things. And I also here at home saw this too a little bit. To this day, I just did an internet search earlier tonight, and everybody talks about still that the most transparent overdrive out there is the Timi. Along with, there's another one, the GHS Morning Glory.
Oh, yeah.
Is also very much, and I think it's kind of a copy of the Timi as well. What's interesting is nobody mentions the Lightspeed. Nobody. when you look at, I looked up like for 2024, what's the top overdrive pedals?
Yeah.
And you know, top 10, top 5, nobody's list is a Lightspeed on, which I think is really interesting.
Which is really crazy to me because I've owned the Lightspeed, obviously, because I sold it to you. And the reason why I picked that one is because I went, man, I love the way it sounds. I love how full it sounds and how big it sounds. And you don't have to do a whole lot of tweaking to get a great sound out of that thing.
Yeah. So what I found is what was crazy to me, we talk about the Timi being this transparent overdrive.
Yeah.
And the Lightspeed, in my humble opinion, is more transparent. Compared to the Timi has, there is a mid bump.
Okay.
Compared to the Lightspeed. I would say the Lightspeed is the most transparent overdrive out there of the ones that I've tried.
And that's interesting. Now, does it matter which amp you use? And does it matter which guitar you use in order to be able to get that transparentness or the sound that you want?
Not between those two. I think that's what's the beauty of both of those pedals is they really do a great job of just giving you more of what the amp's already giving you. Even though you can drive the gain on them, yeah. I like using them really more for a light gain. They're both kind of like an always on pedal at the front of your chain that you can kick into something else. I think that's where they really shine. Yeah. But you can get some gain out of them too. But using them that way, I haven't found an amp yet that they don't work with. They both are fantastic. But what's interesting is when I first played the Lightspeed, I was like, man, this thing's a lot brighter. And I was like, okay, why is this so bright? And first I was playing a Tele at first, and you know, I changed the pickups on my blue Tele. I don't know if knew that or not.
Didn't you tell me you put like a JB or no? You put a...
No, I put in, I found used, because we buy everything used. I found Duncan Quarter Pounders.
Yeah, that's it.
In. Found those used. But before I did that, I had the stock pickups in that, and it's a pretty bright guitar by itself. So when I used the light speed with that, I was like, boy, is it adding even more highs to it? But when I would just do an on-off test of listening to the amp by itself and clicking it on with everything at unity gain on there, no, it's not adding anything all. But because it's not adding any mids, it's not adding any lows, it's just amplifying what's already there, it made it sound like it was brighter. It is actually, this is going to sound like a bad term, but it's not meant to be. It actually, the pedal sounds kind of thin to me. It doesn't thin out your sound at all. It just doesn't thicken it up at all. Whereas in like normal overdrives, you kick those on and it's like, it adds something. It just thickens everything.
Yeah.
And even the Timmy, I feel, does just a little bit, but the light speed doesn't at all. It's just more of what was there. Which brings me to my thought when I was playing with Lynn Stone King last weekend, which we missed you greatly, by the way.
You know, real quick caveat to what's going on. So Lynn contacts me and says, hey, we're going to do these events, but we get our choice in which one we want to choose. And I went, okay, I can do anything but the Wisconsin Dells. And then she chose the Wisconsin Dells. And I went, you know what? It's fine. It's okay. I understand what's going on here. You wanted to do that event. I'm a hired gun. It's okay. And of course, she has to pick you to be my replacement.
Yeah, but she regrets it most of the time.
Most of the time. Most of the time, right? Because it's not me.
If that makes you feel any better. Like, you're exactly right.
You know, at the same time, I will also say that that's the reason why we work really well together, is because it's not that she regrets that you were there. It's that she regrets that I wasn't there. It's never about whether you are there. It has everything to do with whether I'm there or not.
So, point of all that, I use the light speed quite a bit since we had another guitar player there and a keyboardist, and Lynn's playing acoustic. There were some times where I'm like, you know, I just want to be bright and jangly off in the distance a little bit. I want to really just, that's where I wanted, what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want, I had enough tunes where I was thick and meaty, you know, in that.
Yeah.
But there was some stuff where I just wanted to just kind of be shimmery, you know, in there.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of years ago at Life Fest, we were hanging out backstage, Switchfoot had just played.
Yep.
And Drew was back there, and we were hanging out with Drew. Drew was, at that point, he's not with Switchfoot now. It's the last couple of years. I think he left the band. Am I right on that?
I'm not 100% sure. I think that he kind of got to a point where he was done doing what he did in the capacity in which he did.
Yeah, but he was with him for years. You and I and Drew were hanging out backstage. And I was, honestly, I didn't quite get what I heard him say, because he told us both that he was looking for the brightest Tele in the world.
Yeah.
That's what he was in the hunt for. He was looking for a Tele that was so bright that it would shine light in the darkness. He was just looking for that kind of Tele. And you and I didn't talk a ton about it right there in front of him, but I'm thinking, man, Teles are like the brightest guitar out there.
Yeah.
You know? But what we did tell him at that point was have you thought about switching the pot out to like a 1 meg pot of any Tele?
Yeah.
And just letting more treble come through, which he hadn't tried. I don't know if he ever did or not. So at the event this weekend, I found myself at times with my Tele going, you know, which Teles are naturally bright. But I found myself suddenly going, man, I just want this to be a little more shimmery. I want this to be brighter. I want this to, and I went, I understand what Drew was looking for in this context. I was like, it totally made sense to me. So using the light speed, I was able to get that glassy, shimmery tone that I was like, oh, I get it. This is what Drew was talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, of course, the Lightspeed didn't exist back then, so he wasn't able to just get one of those.
Well, that's true. That's true. But then at the same time, I remember he was talking about how he wanted this maple neck on the guitar. And that's actually what started. He was like, I'm looking for a late 60s, early 70s Telecaster with a maple neck. And I said, man, that's going to be real bright. And he said, I want the brightest Tele I can get.
I know.
And I was like, really? And this is the crazy thing, is I now own an early 70s Telecaster because I own the 1973 Telecaster Custom. You and I both experienced on stage at Life Fest where I had the tone knob on the bridge rolled down to 5 and it was still crazy bright. So I think I found it. Drew, I found it. Come find me. I'll tell you all about it.
A Tele so bright, you have to wear shades.
Ooh, nice. That's smoking. Now, I'm going to ask you a quick question before we go on. Here, a little piece of trivia. Do you know why the Timmy, or technically going back even farther, the Tim was named the Tim?
I believe Paul Cochran had a dog when he was 6 years old that got run over by a garbage truck. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. You're on the right track.
And it was, and the dog was like overdriven and flattened out and compressed.
Yes.
And he said, someday I am going to dedicate a pedal that in tone describes what happened to my poor Willoughby. I think that was his name.
Yeah, I think.
And it became the Tim pedal, I believe. Does that sound right?
You're totally on the right track. He was a real big fan of the Monty Python movies. And there was Tim the Enchanter. And so he named it after that.
Oh, yeah. So I was right.
Yeah, pretty much right, spot on. And then the Tim became a smaller pedal. And since it's a little smaller, he just called it Timmy.
Yeah, which is what I have.
Yeah, and so you have Timmy.
Yeah, I have Timmy, and now...
Which is named after his dog that got hit by a truck. Yeah,
named Willoughby.
Terrible.
I'm sure that's what happened.
Yeah, and because he's now part of the road, he's very transparent. Nobody...
it's just like, exactly right.
Oh, gosh.
Driven over. I don't know.
We have both had dogs that have passed away. You know how sad this makes us both.
I had to put mine down.
Ah, me too.
It's awful. It's awful. I know. That's another podcast.
It's a different group therapy session. Yeah. I'm not posting that one. Mm-mm, no. But anyway, that's where the name came from. That's it.
And you know that Cochran right now he's licensed out with MXR, is now making the Timmy pedals?
You know, that's interesting too. And there's part of me that's like, man, good for you. You found a way to make something original, because the Timmy pedal is actually kind of this original circuit, taking all these things that he liked and then went, I want it to be transparent too. So to have a big company say, hey, look, I want to do this mass produced and we're both going to make a ton of money and it's going to be great in the name of tone. And he went, yes.
And he was hand doing all of these.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you just can't keep up. What's interesting, the King of Tone pedal that you had for a while.
Yep.
Do you know MXR is now doing the Duke of Tone?
Yeah.
You know, and they're the MXR Timmy pedal of the best overdrives in 2024. It's on all the lists.
Yep. And it belongs there. And it's also a mini, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a mini.
And that's the other cool thing. And I know that makes Jason roll over a little bit and just want to puke. But a mini pedal is cool because then anybody can give it a try on their board and they don't have to really change a whole lot. It's okay. It's fine. It's pocket sized, which is pretty awesome on itself. Now, to go back to what you said, because nobody actually knows that I sold the King of Tone.
Okay.
And I've never mentioned it. And I want everybody who's like, He had that 5-year waiting list, and he waited all that time, and they made a couple of videos on it. He talked about it.
Talked about how great it was.
And then he turns it for a profit. Okay. Real quick, the reason why I sold it is because, and here's my confession. I want everybody to know my confession. I did not actually wait 5 years. I had a buddy of mine who waited the 5 years and could not afford the pedal. And so I jumped in line. I bought the pedal instead. And when I purchased the pedal, I made a few videos. I did a few things with it. And that person was going to have a baby. And that was part of the reason why he couldn't afford the pedal. So I sold it and I took all the profit, all the extra that came from it, and I gave him the proceeds of it.
Wow.
So it was not because I was trying to make a profit. I just got what I made out of it. But here's this guy who waited and said, look, I can't afford it. I didn't really need it anyway. I bought it. And about a year later, or technically it was about 7 months later, I ended up going ahead and selling it, taking all that money and doing it. And Lloyd, I'm going to tell you, and nobody else knows this but you and Jason now. But
in the world,
the person who bought it was Robert Keeley.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Really?
And he, you know what? Someday we're going to find out why he bought it. I'm not going to be the one to spoil it. I'm going to let him do it.
Okay.
Yep. I'm leaving it at that. I'm not going to do it.
I hate you right now.
Yep.
I do. Look at me.
Yeah.
We're looking at each other right now.
We are.
We're going to have to pause this and have another intervention. Man. Okay. Okay, Doc. If that's where you want to be.
Yep.
Sidebar story, though, since we're kind of on that, although I'm having a hard time moving on from there's obviously a story here that I want to hear, but okay.
That's someday.
You're prerogative.
Okay. Oh, you'll know. And then you'll send me a text and you'll be like, what is this?
All right.
It's going to be good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. All right. So quick little sidebar story. 3 Christmases ago, it was the Christmas right before, unfortunately, my father passed away on Easter.
Yep.
I got a Christmas gift from mom and dad that was a guitar strap.
Yeah.
And it was cool. It has a Bible verse on it. It was brown. It was a fine strap. I appreciated it. I had no idea what I was going to do with it. And I'm like... Well, they bought me this because they didn't really, like, oh, here, we'll get Lloyd a guitar strap because he could maybe use a guitar strap.
Sure.
That's all the thought I thought there was into it. I never asked, never thought about asking, but I appreciate it. It was great. It sat for, I guess, really only about a year with no guitar for it to go on until I bought that blue Tele, which I don't know what the, do you know what the color of my Tele is exactly?
It's kind of like a Lake Placid. I don't know what the name is, but I'm looking for.
I think that's it. I think that's it. And it's really cool blue. Well, that brown strap goes perfect with that Lake Placid blue Tele. I stuck it on there and I'm like, this strap will be on this guitar for as long as I own this guitar, which I have no reason to sell it.
Right.
You know, I got it for $300.
Nice.
So I was talking to my mom just last week and I asked her, I was like, because I had the guitar there and I showed her the strap and I said, do you remember getting this for me? And she's like, yeah. And I said, you gave it to me at Christmas. And she's like, yeah, but we didn't actually give that to you. And I went, yeah, you did. I was there opening the present right in front of you at Christmas. It came from you. She told me that there's this guy named Ron who I knew was an older gentleman who was a guitar player. I never saw him play. I don't know how good he was, but apparently I remember him saying that he played guitar with Roy Clark back in the day. Oh, yeah. Do you know Roy Clark from Hee Haw fame?
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal guitar player. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what's true or not, but he always said, oh, I had no reason to doubt him. Well, Ron wanted me to have that strap. And he died before he was able to give it to me. And his wife said, Ron always wanted your son to have this.
Yeah.
So they wrapped it up and gave it to me at Christmas, but they didn't tell me this at all. I had no idea that it came for him. So I talked to mom about this and she said, well, that's not the whole story. Ron actually got that strap from Roy Clark.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's super
so
cool.
So that strap that's on there was, I don't know if he ever had it on a guitar, but it came from Roy Clark.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm so glad that I just randomly asked why they would get me a strap at Christmas. But
oh, that's awesome.
So that is all you need to know about overdrives.
Okay, and so we're just done. We don't need to talk about it anymore. We're good.
Yeah, I guess we're done. If anybody has stayed this long.
Yeah, right. All right, so we should probably take a break for the sponsors. And when we come back, this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about the Boss pedals that we have had. I want to talk about the Tube Screamers, or clones of, that we've had. Maybe some Klons we've had. And I want to talk, and I know this is going to sound silly because we're talking about overdrives, but I want to talk a little bit about fuzz. I think it's worthwhile to mention something about a fuzz. So we are going to do that after a break from our sponsors. If you are looking for a way to help support the Tweed Couch and it costs no money to you, then check out our YouTube channel and become a subscriber. Also, you can tell someone about the podcast and share an episode with them. Thank you for listening and thank you for your support. Here's another sponsor. Are you wanting to join a party with a purpose? If you love music and camping, then come to Life Fest in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'll see you there. Here is our last sponsor. Since 2003, the Kretzmann Guitar Company has been repairing and building guitars. In 2021, Kretzmann started a production of a solid body electric guitar for anyone, student to expert. You can check them out at KretzmannGuitars.com. All right, well, we are back, and it is time to talk about my favorite overdrive. And I know that some people will be like, I hate this overdrive. This is the worst overdrive, but I love a Tube Screamer. I love it. And the reason why people don't love it is because they go, oh, I mean, it's just, it's not transparent enough. Oh, it colors the tone so much. Oh, it messes with this or it messes with that. Oh, I can't get enough drive out of it. You know what? I don't care that you don't like it. I like it. And you know what? I'm not going to make fun of what you don't like. And I'm not going to make fun of what you do like. I am just going to say, I love a Tube Screamer. And my favorite way to use it is not just as the Tube Screamer itself, it is as a boost. I love the color it gives my lead tones. So There you go. I've confessed it. I've confessed my love.
Nobody else can see the smile on my face, but you can see the smile.
Yep.
I will never get rid of my Keeley modded Tube Screamer.
Yeah.
It is, I've never even considered getting rid of it. Up until recently has been a mainstay on my pedal board.
Yeah.
I pulled it off just because I'm like, I don't need all these on here. But I was thinking recently that I need to pull it out again because it's not on my board because I don't like it. I just have way too many overdrives.
Yeah.
And I don't need to put them all on.
It's so good. And in that respect, then that brings me to my Line 6 stuff, because I understand everybody's like, oh, crap, now he's going to talk about modelers again and how much modelers are great and whatever. But
well, then don't.
It's my show. And this is my therapy. It's a group therapy, but I get to say it. Hello, my name is Dr. T, right. And I am a modeler junkie as well as an overdrive junkie.
Let me adjoist these earplugs.
No, yeah, gosh, you. Okay, so with that said, I will say that I actually really like the Screamer on my HXFX or my M9 or M13 or whatever. I think it's really good. It sounds really good as a Tube Screamer. I also really like the Keeley modded Tube Screamer. They sound very similar because of what I can do with it, just the parameters and everything. But you know what? It's good. It's passable for me in a live setting, and that's the reason why I'm good with it.
Which Line 6 is it that's left with, John?
The M9 is what we have left with, Lynn.
Yeah, and you had programmed it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've used it at times with Lynn. And yeah, the Screamer, it sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no problem with it on there.
I'm just saying, I enjoy a Screamer. I don't need to go any farther with it. I don't need to talk about, oh, well, the TS-8 or the TS-9 or the TS-10 is the best of all of them. In all honesty, they all have their little bit of flavor. But the crazy thing is, and this is what people don't really understand, is that with any pedal, they can vary from pedal to pedal. Like, you buy a TS-808 serial number 243 and you buy serial number 244 and it's going to sound just a little different. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing when it comes to these any of these pedals, any pedal at all, you're going to find that some of them you're going to go, man, that was gold. And some of them you're going to go, meh, there's just something missing. So when you find gold, like you did with the Keeley Modded, then you know what?
Yeah.
Stick with it.
Well, and we probably addressed this years ago, but who cares?
Right.
We'll revisit it a little bit. I didn't understand the Tube Screamer. I bought the Tube Screamer because it was a classic. And yep. I liked it for like a lead boost for solos, but I never understood it as a rhythm pedal. It had really no low end, no high end. It was just this, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. It was kind of lifeless to me. And it wasn't until I went to, was it First Avenue? It was, I don't know, another place in Minneapolis, a little club. And Owsley, you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Owsley was playing, and Paul, your brother Paul, and I went to see Owsley, and he had on his pedal board, all his gain was from his pedals. He had a vintage Tube Screamer and a reissue something Tube Screamer.
Mm-hmm.
And he used the vintage one all night long. With a Les Paul into, he was playing, actually he was playing a Savage amp as a backline amp.
Okay.
Somebody brought a Savage.
Yeah.
And his tone was so good. And I'm just like, it's obviously not a Marshall, but it worked for rock and roll rhythm stuff. It was crisp on the high end, just enough mids, low end. It was wonderful. And I didn't know exactly what he was playing at the time. It wasn't until after he got done playing, I went up and looked at his pedal board. And his sound guy came over and saw me looking. And I said, I was just amazed at the tone. And I was just wondering what he was using. And he's like, yeah, his main two are these two overdrives. He said, but that's the one. And he pointed to the vintage one. That's the one he uses the most. And so it was shortly after that that I stumbled across Robert Keeley's webpage. I don't even know how I stumbled across it now. It was early days of the internet, but I stumbled across there. And he was modding pedals at that point. He wasn't making pedals of his own. He was just modding pedals. Like he would take the Proco Rats and make them more like the early Rats.
Yep.
And he was doing the same thing with Tube Screamers. And he spoke to my soul in three paragraphs. He told me everything that I knew that I experienced from the Tube Screamer, why it didn't measure up, and what the original ones did, that the new ones, the reissues didn't, and moving just a few chips around, he could make the new ones sound like the originals did. And he talked about, you know, the mid hump and the loss of highs and all that. And so I'm like, I'll take a chance.
Yeah.
And I sent it to him and I brought this sucker back and I told you and Paul, listen to this thing. I actually get it now.
Yeah.
Why the Tube Screamer is a mainstay of rock and roll and blues.
Yeah.
And to this day, I said, I've never looked back. And like I said, you know, I had that Tone Bone pedal before that.
Mm-hmm.
This kicked it off of there. And all those years that I played with Peter Ide, that into a Marshall,
yep.
That was it. I'm going to have to put it back on my board.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry I did myself. This to you. Well, or maybe this is great group therapy. I don't know. Maybe. Mm. So I love Tube Screamers. I love stacking Tube Screamers. I love using it. But we should probably also talk about Boss pedals. Because when it comes to Boss, it's kind of a sleeper for me, and I know that sounds really dumb because it's like Boss has been around forever. Why on earth would this be a quote-unquote sleeper pedal? And it's because I looked at that gigantic, clunky, square, not sexy at all pedal, and I went, ugh, this is a workhorse pedal. I want boutique. I want sleek.
Yeah.
I want sexy.
And they're thought of as cheap.
Yeah. And dang it, if it isn't for that SD1 sounding so good, which is basically a Tube Screamer that instead of having like symmetrical or asymmetrical, it's the exact opposite of whatever a Tube Screamer is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's essentially the same one. That's it.
Yeah. The SD1, the OD1, and I think I...
BD2. The Blues Breaker?
I have not had that one, but I got a story for you.
That's actually a really good pedal. I've had one before.
Yes. I haven't had it, but I'd totally get one. The TS9, the OD1, and the SD1, I've all owned. I've kept the TS9.
Mm-hmm.
The OD1 was great.
Yeah.
I had no real, all of these, you know, there's no reason to really, I didn't get rid of them because I didn't like them. They all, they're very similar to each other.
Yeah.
At least the OD1 and the SD1.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people that swear, you know, I told you I did a little internet search on this to see kind of top overdrive pedals.
Yeah.
And on many people's list, the SD1 and the TS9 are the top.
Yeah.
You know, on most of them.
Yeah.
Just a standard plain Jane, not all the boutique pedals.
Nope.
Just the ones that have been around for years, people have been using. But did you watch the Anderton video where they did
You know what?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I apologize. I know he listens to this podcast, yes. So I apologize that
I do apologize, but you know, we are fans of you. You're an amazing player.
Yes, fantastic. I had nothing but great things to say about you when we're not on air.
Mm-hmm.
So, he and the captain did a blind test where he was playing guitar. They had a sheet up, and Anderson just grabbed, like, I don't know, it was about 20 overdrive pedals that they have in the store.
Yeah, it was a bunch of them.
The captain did. Yeah. And I was a little disappointed that a Timmy wasn't represented, nor a Lightspeed.
Yeah.
But
they did have a Ducatone. That was fun.
Yes, they did.
And they did have like the original 808. Well, not an original, but a reissue of an 808 Tube Screamer. But they also had the Behringer version of the Tube Screamer as well, which was fun.
Which is hilarious that on my little research today.
Yeah.
Because it's like a $30
pedal. Oh, yeah. It's super cheap.
It's on the list. I probably went to 10 different sites. And whenever you get like best bang for the buck, that's the pedal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
$30, you know, can't beat it. So anyway, what they did, it was a single elimination tournament. He had two pedals head-to-head, randomly chose those two, set them all up, I think, like at noon, you know, or Unity and everything, and then would play, and the captain would then kind of adjust them to both sound kind of similar to each other. And then Reba would say, okay, kick B to the curb, keep A.
Yep.
All right? And then he would take another pedal, and that one now would go head to A, and he would do it again, and then they'd kick another one off.
I thought this was so fascinating because there was a number of times that when I was listening to this and watching this, I was like, man, but is that the sweet spot of that pedal? It was just the sound of what he liked. And that's really what he was going for. He was going, that's less of what I like. Okay.
Yeah.
This one does it. So it was really fascinating. I remember this. They also had a Tumnus, and they also had the Electro-Harmonic Soul Food, which once again are clone of
a clones. Yeah.
And it was like, it was so interesting because I was like, actually, I think he chose the Soul Food over the Tumnus, which is crazy because that's actually a fantastic pedal, too.
It was the other way around, though.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, gosh.
Because the top two, cutting to the end of this long, drawn-out story.
Okay.
The top two were the Tumnus and the Boss Blues Driver pedal were the top two, head-to-head. Yep.
About that.
The $50, well, maybe $80.
Just 50 used, 80 used, something like that. Sure.
20 boutique pedals ranging from $300 down to a $30 Behringer pedal all on that table. And he comes down to, because I think the Tumnus is like a $200 pedal.
Yep.
And the Boss Blues Driver pedal, like it's probably $80, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the top two. So, you want to guess which one won? You already know.
Well, I would
just the way that I'm
Tumnus,
saying this, you know, you would. Think
I would
be
have guessed
Tumnus.
The Tumnus, but now that you've said it this way, it makes me think that the Blues Driver won. Which, by the way, I just looked on Reverb right now and shipped to your door $74 with tax.
Yeah,
used.
And you are correct. He picked the Blues Driver.
Oh,
which you and I already knew is really a great pedal.
It's actually really good. Yeah, you're right.
But I've never had one.
It's not sexy enough. No, it's stupid. I don't
want it. Just, it's a nice color blue.
It is a nice color blue.
Well, so Levi, who played guitar with us because you weren't there this weekend, he had that pedal on his board.
Quit reminding me. Gosh. I think that's enough.
Yeah, but he had the blues ride. I'm like, yeah.
Really? That's what he was using?
He had various other. He actually had the Soul Food too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He actually sounded really good. I listened to it. You both were playing Tellys at some point.
Did most of the weekend.
As well as you also got to play the new Yellow Kretzmann, which was pretty cool.
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was like, the Kretzmann needs to be played. So
it's a great guitar.
It sounded great. The Sunday morning set, there were broken down into three sections where Lynn played. And so yeah. I had the Kretzmann and my Telly and John Doherty's Telly. I was like, I'm going to play each one for its section. So the first one, I believe, is when I played the Kretzmann, gave it some life. And it was great. It felt good, played great.
It sounded really good. And as with many things, it sounded like you. And that's a good thing.
I'm trying to sound like you.
Ah, dang it. Were you playing a Marshall?
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, and I play a Vox with her. So, you know.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, so the Tumnus and the Blues Driver were the finalists in that. And your brother, Paul, has the Tumnus.
Yeah, he does. That's
yes.
Right. Because he needed to have some sort of a buffer in his signal. And he was like, well, the Tumnus still has a buffer. And so he threw it on.
You're kidding.
And it, yeah, that was it. Because everything was true bypass. You know, you and I, we don't play like 18 pedals to make something happen. Well, maybe you do. I don't. I play like 2-3 pedals
yeah.
tops.
No,
now,
granted,
one of them is a multi-effects. But he had so many true bypass pedals in his
yeah.
chain that it yeah. made it seem like it was like a 200-foot cord.
Yeah.
So he lost all these highs.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, yeah, you just need to go ahead and put a buffer in. He was like, no way. So we put a cheap TU-2, not even a TU-3 tuner, Boss tuner, on the front of his chain, and all of his highs came back.
Yeah.
And everything sounded great.
Yeah.
And he was like, dang it. Are you telling me that my $250 tuner is not as good as this like $60 used tuner?
It's not a buffer.
Is what it is. It has a buffer. And we talked about different buffers he could use. And then he found out about the Tumnus still having the buffer in it. And he went, well, I could use a Klon.
Yeah. Well, you know, remember that was such a thing there for quite a few years about, it's true bypass.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
totally.
So everything was like, oh, you got to have true bypass because you're going to, you know, lose all this tone if you don't have true bypass.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, yeah, you lost tone anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Depending on how many you had. Okay, so I'm going to go to the last thing I wanted to mention before we get to final thoughts. And I know we're talking about overdrives, but I want to make a statement about fuzzes.
Okay.
And that is, there is never... And I understand people are going to shut it off right now. It's a good thing that we're like close to an hour because if they're going to shut off, this is the time to shut off. But fuzzes, I've never heard a time when I went, man, that fuzz sounds so much better than what an overdrive could have done in this exact same situation.
Yeah. I know I don't know how to use a fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
They're not supposed to sound good. And even though I know that, I can't bring myself around to being inspired by that. I hear other people use it. I go, boy, that sounds craptastic. It's so good.
Yeah. Craptastic is a wonderful word.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm like, if I tried to play that, I wouldn't be able to make it work. Unless, because you and I both know, well, when I hear them used properly, I think, is single note, single line, single note things.
Mm-hmm.
They can sound really great. Play a riff.
100%. Yep. Absolutely.
But I always try to do a chord with them. And then they're just a mush, just a mushy mess.
Yeah.
And I know that Smashing Pumpkins did it. You know, they did full chords.
Yep, and I don't like their tone.
I do not like their tone. Exactly right.
Well, and you go even to like, oh, well, you're telling me that you don't like the sound of Jimi Hendrix. No, I love the sound of Jimi Hendrix until he turns on the fuzz face. And then I don't like it anymore. And you go, oh, well, who's, you know, the people who really love fuzz and do great with fuzz? Rhett Scholl is somebody who's a YouTuber. He loves fuzz. He uses fuzz. And every time he turns on the fuzz, I go, man, he went from this excellent guitar player with excellent tone to a recording guitar player's tone. Because you and I both know the sound that ends up on the recording is not the tone in which the guitar player was going for. Hmm. It's the tone in which the engineer said it fits good in the mix.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
It's not a great tone. That's my take. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Yeah.
I know this is an overdrive thing, but I will never do a podcast on a fuzz that will do it justice because it's completely biased.
Yeah. Man, it doesn't sound like it. I can't.
No, really? Really? It doesn't? Really?
I can't go quite so far as you on that, but I have nothing to add or to detract from what you were saying. So let me just say, I have nothing to say.
Okay. And I will add one caveat, and that is in Satisfaction, Keith Richards plays the maestro fuzz tone, and it has the whole like, dun, 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 and I go, yeah, that sounds awesome. That's exactly what that was needed. Hmm. But the crazy thing is that Keith Richards used it not because he wanted it to be in the actual track. He used it because he went, I want horns for this, and this is what it should sound like.
Oh, gosh.
And that is the complete reason. And for those that go, I disagree, there's no way that's true. The original track, when you listen to the actual song, if you listen to only that part, you will find it is not perfect on the metronome. And sometimes he'll start playing it and then click on the pedal because it was never meant to be in the song.
Hmm.
It was just what the engineer liked. So he kept it.
Okay. Well, since you said fuzzes, even though this is a overdrive podcast.
True.
I'm going to go to the other end and the Marshall in a Box pedals.
Mm-hmm.
You and I should both love the Marshall in a Box pedals.
Oh, yeah, totally, because we both love Marshalls.
Yeah, and yet everyone that I've had that is a distortion pedal, not an overdrive pedal that they say, boy, this overdrive pedal really is a good Marshall in a Box pedal. It's still really an overdrive. It still compresses like an overdrive.
Yeah.
It's creamy like an overdrive.
Yep.
A Marshall in a Box pedal is dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the bass mid high. There's very little compression to them at all.
Yep.
They're crunchy. The Box of Rocks, the Crunch Box. Marshall, actually, early back in the 80s, they did a whole run of, I had one of them actually, was the
Drive
Master. No, I didn't have the Governor. I loved the Governor.
Okay.
And actually, John Doherty has a Governor now.
Yes, he does.
And I'm going to be using it in Minneapolis with the Junker Georges in a few weeks.
Oh, nice.
I asked him to put it on there. And if I didn't ask him, John, I'm asking you to put it on there. Okay. So you have to release this.
He does listen. Before. He does listen.
I know. He does. And it isn't called, even though it's a Marshall pedal, it's different than the others. There's three. There was a Shredmaster, the Drive Master, and then the Governor. And the Shredmaster and the Drive Master both sounded more like kind of what you would kind of maybe want a Marshall to sound like. The Governor was more like an overdrive.
Yeah.
You know, and really
good.
Great pedals. Yeah. I do like that one a lot. Reason I bring that all up is I haven't been able to bond with them. I've tried a bunch of them and they sound good. They're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather play an overdrive that flirts in that area. I just like the creaminess of them a little more, the slight compression, you know.
I'm like wondering if I actually prefer a modded Marshall. And the only reason why I say that is because every time I play my Marshall and I go to do an overdrive with it and I go, well, that's a Marshall in the Box. It's because I'm playing the Marshall clean and I'm driving it with a pedal. And it sounds more compressed and the right amount of gain and all that.
Yeah.
And then I'll turn that off and then I'll just crank the gain up on the Marshall and I'll go, wish it just had a little more compression to it. Or I wish it was a little more creamy. And it's like, okay, maybe it's a modded Marshall that I'm actually looking for.
Yeah. And you haven't, I don't know if you've been able to do this. I've been able to take my Marshall and crank it all the way up in my crib.
Yep.
And when you get in it, naturally compresses in a glorious way. And then I go, okay, that's why a lot of my favorite rock and roll recorded guitar tones aren't pedals. Yep. They are amplifiers, but they're turned up. in a way that you get that natural sustain and the compression. It just happens. But you and I always have to play them a lot quieter. So then they're kind of bright and shrill and you don't get it.
You know, okay. So the last little like caveat to that before we get to final thoughts is when I was doing Second Adam's album, I borrowed your Marshall. And it was a 1979 Marshall JMP 2203. So it's still the JCM 800, like Marshall sound, but because it was a 79 and a JMP and 100 watts, for whatever reason, that thing did not get nearly as dirty as a normal JCM 800.
Yeah.
All that said, when you listen to the feedback tones on that album, like Walls of Jericho, listen to Walls of Jericho, and when you hear the feedback, I had the master volume all the way at 10, and I had the preamp sitting around 7, and I had your attenuator turned completely off, and all I did was get feedback out of it, and the feedback is glorious. You'll get a kick out of it. I know you'll like it. So, all right, all that to say, that was the last caveat. Let's go to final thoughts. What would you say your final thoughts on overdrives is?
Don't get sucked into that you need to buy the $300 overdrive pedal because it's going to be better than the $79 Boss overdrive or a standard Tube Screamer or the SD-1. Give those a go first. Go into the forums and you'll find tons of people that have gone full circle on going because they like got to scratch that itch and try them all, only to come back to the tried and true. Now there's a lot. The thing is, they're most of them are really really great.
You know?
I know we said we weren't going to go back in caveats, but I just looked on Facebook here. I might be making this trade. I have a Plexi Tone. Low gain, that is kind of a Marshall in a box.
Yeah. Yep.
And
that's
the
reason why it's called a Plexi.
Yeah, yep. I like it. But I've been really curious because looking around, Friedman, he makes a 100-watt Marshall amp, but he did a pedal that was called BEOD. So it's it's an overdrive, and people swear by it. And it's about a $200 pedal. But when you listen to it, it's more of that modded, modern Marshall, which I do kind of dig for certain things. And this guy says he will trade me it for my Plexi Tone low gain. And I'm very tempted just to give that one a go. I haven't gotten a new pedal in a long, long time. I haven't even had an itch to do it because of what I just said. They all sound real. All the ones that I have, they pretty much cover everything. But I might do that trade. So there's my final thoughts. I might do that trade.
So here's the deal. As I don't necessarily know how much a Plexi drive, one of the like original low gain, whatever, I don't know what they are, but this is my question to you is when was the last time that you actually used the Plexi drive?
A year.
Okay. And compared to your other drives, what do you think?
Well, there's a reason it's not on my board.
Okay. In that case, I think it's time for you to do a trade.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's sitting there doing nothing.
And it doesn't matter if it's like, oh, but my pedal's worth $50 more or whatever. You're going to get $50 of enjoyment. It's worth it. Do it. Scratch the itch. Make it happen.
And maybe it'll be like what happened with my Timmy. I traded 3 or 4 pedals before I hit on the Timmy and I went, I'm not trading this Timmy away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and quick go to my final thoughts. And my final thoughts is this. I make every overdrive sound the same. And if I can't, I sell it. And it's because of that, that I look at it and I go, you know what? When I play my HX effects and I'm using the legacy version of the Screamer instead of the 808, and I go, well, I like the legacy version better. And when I play my HX effects and I play the Timma, which is really their Timmy version of things, and I go, I like that. It sounds a lot like my Rat pedal, my Burninator. And it's like, That's not a Burninator. Yeah, but it sounds like my Burninator. I go, well, it doesn't matter what the name said on it. It sounds like what I make things sound like. I could care less on whether or not it's a Duelist or a Soulist, or it is the Klon, or it is the KOT, and if it's worth $20,000 or it's worth $20. If it sounds like me and it inspires me, I just want to do it. So I understand I upset some people with the fuzz earlier. It doesn't sound like me. So it's not for me. But if it's for you, great. Let it inspire you. And that's what my encouragement would be to other people is, just like you said, don't get hyped up on all the boutique. Just find what you like and go with it. And I will add to that, just find what sounds like you, what you listen to and go, man, now that is pleasing to the ear, and embrace it.
Yeah. Well said, doctor. In the very least, do not make the assumption that because it costs more, you'll like it more or that it's better.
Amen. Well, this was good therapy. This was excellent therapy. And Lloyd, thank you so much for being here on the couch.
Yeah. This is always fantastic.
So good.
Thanks.
All right. Until next time.
All right. See you, brother.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's all the time we have for the Twee Couch Guitar Therapy session. If you like what you heard, make sure you leave 5 stars in review. Also, be sure to check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And remember, you are your greatest asset. Until next time.